Talmud, they're talking a little bit about Hilchos Purim. We obviously can't get to everything in Hilchos Purim, but at least some Rosh Hashanah, some important halachas to keep in mind. The Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Purim, in Siman Tov Resh Pei Zayin, at the beginning, Paskins based on the Gemara Megillah, that one is chayav to read the Megillah, or to hear someone reading the Megillah twice, both the night of Purim and during the day of Purim. The Rishonim point out that the Ikar Kriya is actually by day. The Torah Evan says that the Chiyuv by day is the Chiyuv Midirei Kabbalah, and at night it's only a mitzvah derabbanan. The Chiyuv to read the Megillah by day, that's derived from the Megillah itself. The Megillah says, V'hayamim ha'elim nizkarim v'nasim. Nizkarim sounds like that you have to mention the Neis of Purim. You have to talk about the Neis of Purim by day. So that's the obligation to read the Megillah by day. Hayomim sounds like bayom. So the question is whether Balayla also is that Midirei Kabbalah that's also learned from this pasuk, or we say no, Balayla is only a later Rabbanan, a later mitzvah the Chachamim introduced. It's not Midirei Kabbalah. You're still chayiv to hear the Megillah at night, but it could be that the chayiv to hear the Megillah at night is even on a lower level than the chayiv by day. So it's important to keep in mind that people get very excited for the Megillah at night, but the Megillah by day, with the Chagig and everything going on, sometimes people are so tired that they miss a word or two. The mind's distracted, and it's hard to concentrate, and they don't hear the Megillah properly. It could be a greater chiyuv to hear the Megillah by day than to hear it by night. So you should be careful. Try to get to sleep at a reasonable time so that you can be awake for the reading of the Megillah, and you'll be able to hear it appropriately. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Resh Sadi Sev Gimel writes that one has to read the Megillah or to hear a Megillah being read mitoch haksav. You have to hear it from the klaf, not bal peh. If it's read from a chumash, that's considered bal peh. It has to be mitoch haksav from the klaf. B'diavad, if you heard or read up until half the Megillah bal peh or from a chumash, you can be yotze. But if more than half is read bal peh, then you're not going to be yotze. At least half, more than half has to, a little bit more than half has to be read mitoch haksav. Says the Mishnah Berurah there in Siman Tov Resh Sadi, it's for that reason that it's a good idea that everyone should have a Megillah or have a Chumash, have something in front of them, so that if they miss a word, they can read the word. Sometimes when they're banging Haman, it can get a little noisy. It could get a little noisy. Right? It happens that sometimes there's a little bit too much noise in the shul, and they can't quiet all the, that one guy with that big horn in the back of the shul that's making everyone deaf. Is that in Shulchan Aruch? Right, there's a lot of noise. This problem was not invented in the 21st century. The Chofetz Chaim talks about it. It was a problem in Raden. I'm sure they didn't have that big horn there, but it's been a problem for many, many generations. Okay, so we shouldn't think that we are special, but we shouldn't think we're so special regarding this. Right, this is not something we should try to be special about. But the problem is, when people are banging for hummus, and sometimes it's very hard to hear the next words. So, if you miss a word, or if you missed Haman, you should read it yourself. Read it yourself, or say it balpeh. As long as you're not going to have rov of the Megillah balpeh, you're still going to be hearing more than half the ksav, mitoch haksav, either from the balkore, or if you have a kosher Megillah, then you can mamish read it right there. But it's better to listen to the balkore himself. You have to listen to what he's saying. It's certainly berovam to listen to what he's saying. So that's kosher. So that's what everyone should do. You should have a chumash so that you'll be able to get rov of the Megillah mitoch haksav, and whatever you have to be mashlim, you can be mashlim. But you have to make sure that you don't miss one word. Even one word is going to be a problem. So you have to make sure that whatever words you miss, you have to fill in with the chumash. What happens if a person is listening to the Balkore read the Megillah, and he starts daydreaming? He daydreams about the costume he's going to wear at the Chagiga, and he starts daydreaming about the Gramen he's going to sing at the Purim Sutta. Different things that can happen. The Purim is a time that you can have some daydream. It's a long Megillah. So what's the din? So the Berheita quotes from the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says that even if you miss one word of the Megillah, you're not Yotze. Aval Shoma v'lo kiven b'chol teva yotze. If he listened, but he wasn't mechaven every word, then you are yotze. So what does that mean? If you miss a word, then you're not yotze. But if shama but lo kivein, he heard, but he wasn't mechaven to every word, so he's yotze. What does that mean? So the Levushei Srod, one of the Nosekeim on the side of the Magen Avraham, he says The Magen Avraham does not mean to say that, you know, if you're sort of hearing what the Baal Kori is saying, but you're not concentrating on the words, you're still Yotze. No, in such a case, you're not Yotze. He means that you're listening, but you're not machabing to the translations of the words. You're not really understanding what's being said. You're hearing every word, but you're not machaving to the explanation, to the translations of the words. Then you're still Yotze. But if you're just daydreaming, and you know you're daydreaming in the middle of the second parak, and then you wake up the first time that they bang Haman, it's jarring to you, the first time that they bang Haman. So even though you've been listening, your subconscious is listening. Levush Esrad says that according to the Magen Avraham, you're not going to be Yotze. That's called missing a word. This is a very important thing to keep in mind, because it happens left and right. I mean, it's very hard to keep concentrated on what's going on unless you're following. Some people, to be choshesh for this halacha, some people are careful to read with the Baal Kori. They read together with him. Try to read in a way that you can hear the Baal Kori. And don't read so loud that you disturb the person next to you. But they read along because they feel it's an easier way to concentrate. Others feel they don't have to actually read, but they follow with their finger. It's a good idea to follow with your finger. Even though sometimes you'll just continue following with your finger and then you find your fingers on their own line. You know, you can get distracted then too, but it'll help. You follow with your finger, at least it might help to keep you focused on every word that the Baal Kori is reading. But it's something to keep in mind. You can't miss even one word. You got to be very careful about this. People are very lax about this halacha. You have to be careful not to miss even one word, and you shouldn't daydream so that you'll hear everything appropriately. Some of the poskim point out that there is a minig, there's a machlokas in the poskim, whether the Aseres B'nei Haman have to be read by each person individually, or can they be yotze from the Baal Kori. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadim that you can be yotze from the Baal Kori, you don't have to read them separately. This is the Mishnah Berurah in Simit Tov Reish Sadi Sivkotin Nun Beis. The Chayyadim says that it's not a problem, you don't have to read them yourself, you can be yotze from the Baal Kori. But the Rogat Shavar and the Tzofnas Paneach, he suggests that you can't be Yotze with the Baal Kori. You dafka have to read it yourself. Why? The way that we Yotze with the Baal Kori is through the din of Shomea Ka'onah. Zok the Rogat Shavah, Shomea Ka'onah means that when I hear from someone else, it's as if I'm speaking, but that only attributes a basic level of dibur, a basic level of speech to me. It doesn't attribute exactly the same kind of speech that the Baal Kori is using. So if the Baal Kori has to read the Aseres B'nei Haman b'Neshima Achas, if he has to read it in one breath, so that Neshima Achas can't be attributed to me. I'm not doing it in one breath, I'm just listening to him say it. So if you hold Shomer Ka'oneh means, I'm not reading really, but I'm just connecting myself to someone reading, so then whatever he's doing is attributed to me and I can be Yotze. But if you hold Shomer Ka'oneh means that it's as if I'm speaking, so what do we attribute to the Shomer? We only attribute the basic dibur, but we don't attribute all the pitch of gizah, we would say, all the side, all of the embellishments, all of the characteristics of the dibur. See, this is very similar to what the Beis Halevi said about Birchas Kohanim. The Beis Halevi has a shita that one Kohen cannot be motzi other Kohanim in Birchas Kohanim. If there's one individual who can't raise his voice appropriately, so then the other Kohanim cannot be motzi. Why? Because one of the requirements of Birchas Kohanim is that it has to be b'kol rum, that the Kohanim have to speak b'kol rum, they have to speak out loud so that the tzibur can hear them. Right? That doesn't mean that you have to scream so loud that everyone can hear you, even if the other Kohanim are also screaming. It means that if everyone were quiet, you'd be loud enough that they would be able to hear you. Right? I mean, if everyone is going to scream loud enough, then you're still not going to hear everyone. There's no way out of that, right? So it's just you have to be speaking loud enough so that if everyone were quiet, it would be loud enough that the tzibur could hear you. So claim the Beis Halevi, Shomer Ka'oneh is not going to work by Birchas Ka'oneh, because Shomer Ka'oneh just means that if one Ka'oneh speaks, then it's as if the other Ka'oneh are speaking. But not necessarily that they're speaking the Kol Ram, that's an extra element of dibur. That you can't attribute to the Shomer. So according to the Rogat Shavah, the same is true about the Megillah. You can't attribute Neshima Achas to the Shomer. So he suggested that perhaps it would be better for everyone to read the Aseres B'nei Haman themselves. So different people do different things. Many have the minig to read it themselves, and many are yotze with the reading of the Baal Kori. Yeah.
According to the Rogat Shavah, how would that work if you're reading it from Chumash? Because it's not really like you're reading it.
You still are reading it. You're reading it Baal Peh. So since it's not Rove of the Megillah, you can be yotze. If you read the Aseres B'nei Haman Baal Peh B'Neshima Achas, then you'll be able to be yotze. Okay. I saw Rav Sternbach in his Chubas suggested a different reason why the minhag developed that the tzibur reads the Aseres Bnei Haman themselves, because since the Baal Kori is reading it so fast, and there's a lot of noise in the shul, maybe he won't hear every word. Right? The Baal Kori is reading it fast to be Yotzi B'Nashim Achas, but maybe the tzibur is not going to hear, so that's why the tzibur reads the Aseres Bnei Haman themselves. Not because Medina, they can't be Yotzi B'Nashim Achas from the Baal Kori, but they're not going to be able to hear it, so maybe that's why they read it themselves. Okay, different reasons. We know that there are three brachas that are recited on the reading of the Megillah. Three brachas before and one after. Now we have the bracha al Mikra Megillah, Shalos Anisim, Shechiyanu, and then afterwards we say Haraves Rivenu. What's the din if you read the Megillah B'Yachid? Do you say Haraves Rivenu after the Megillah? It's a big shaila in the poskim. The Ramah paskas that you don't make the bracha after the Megillah if you read the Megillah B'Yachid. That's the Ramah in Tofresh Sadi Beis Sefam. The Mishnah Berurah quotes others, the Gaon and others, who have a whole discussion based on the Yerushalmi. It's not so clear, but that's how the Ramah passes. I think that's the minhag. The minhag is that we make the bracha Haraves Yivenu B'Tzibur B'Nat B'Yachid. And there's a further question: if you're reading to a tzibur of women, would you make the bracha after the Megillah? I think the minhag there as well. Even though there are some who disagree, I think the minhag there as well is not to make the bracha. Dafka with a tzibur of Anoshim, then we make the bracha after the Megillah. When it comes to reading the Megillah for women, so there's a different nusach for the bracha on the Megillah. We don't say Al Mikra Megillah, we say Lishma Megillah. Why is that? So the answer is because there's one sheet, that's the sheet of the Bahag, that claims that women are not obligated in the Kriyas Megillah, but only in Shmiyas Megillah. They're only chayiv in hearing the Megillah, but not in reading the Megillah. It's a shir unto itself. What's the difference between the two, and why are women only chayiv in Shmiyah, not in Kriya? But to be choshesh for the Bahag, so we don't want to say the bracha al mikra Megillah if we're only reading for women, because that might not be correct. Right? According to the Bahag, they're only chayiv in Shmiyah. So that's why the minhag developed, Mishneh Berurah says that you should make a bracha lishma Megillah if you read the Megillah for women. Obviously, if you're reading the Megillah for women, but there's a man there too, if he couldn't come to the first Megillah lane, so then you should make the regular bracha, because he's chayiv in Kriyas Megillah, so you can say al mikra Megillah for him. But if it's only women, then you'd make the bracha lishma Megillah. Okay, questions? There's an old myth, yes.
So if you have a cloth, like your own cloth, it's better to not use it, because at least in a chumash, you can read the words. With
what do you mean it's better to not use it?
Meaning if you have a chumash, you have the nekudos inside, so you'll say the words properly. But if you have a cloth...
Some say it's actually better to use a cloth, because l'chatchila, you should read the whole Megillah mitoch haksav. So that's taka why some people
even if you're
get
not
a cloth.
The words properly, like if you don't know the words.
Mm. If you really think you're not going to know the words, so then maybe not. Then maybe it's better to have a chumash. But you know, most of the words we're pretty familiar with, right? So if you know the words, I guess maybe the best thing is to have a chumash on the side. Maybe someone who should be looking on with you in the cloth will have a chumash, and then if you really don't know the words, so then you'll look in the chumash to say that word. But if you can look in the cloth, it's better to read the whole thing mitoch haksav. Yeah, that is why some people have a cloth. It's one of the reasons given that people have a cloth. Some people get a cloth because, you know, they have to lane for other people, so, you know, it comes out that way that they buy the cloth. But the reason why so many people are makbid to get a cloth is because l'chatchila you're not supposed to read a mitoch haksav. So for any extra word that you're going to have to be mosif, it's good to be mosif from the cloth. There's an old minhag to give zecher lemachtis hashekel before Purim. That in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, they gave a machtis hashekel during Chodesh Adar, that we wanted to bring the karbanas tzibur starting from Nisan, from the truma chadasha, right? That all of Klal Yisrael was going to bring a truma. We have to get together. We have to donate for the karbanas tzibur of the year. So right before Nisan, Chodesh Adar, they give a machtis hashekel. So the zecher to the matzah shekel that they brought in the Beis Hamikdash, we do the same thing. We're not bringing it for the karbanos tzibur, but it's a zecher to the matzah shekel that they did. Who gives the zecher to the matzah shekel? So the Ramah writes that anyone above the age of 20. That is the Parshat Shah. I mean, that's what the Pasuk in Parshat Kisisa says, right? Kol over al apakudim miben esrim shana v'mala. Sounds like from 20 and up. But the Mishnah Berurah says that others disagree. Others claim that from 13 and up, one should give matzah shekel. Once you give the zecher to the matzah shekel. Why is that? It sounds like it's against the pasuk. So they explain, no, the pasuk is talking about the truma that they gave for the mishkan, not the matzah shekel they gave for karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash. the tshuva for the Mishkan was taka from 20 and up, but the Machzor Shekel that they give for the Beis HaMikdash, that's not from 20 and up, that's from 13. So therefore, we're giving a zeichah to the Machzor Shekel that they brought in the Beis HaMikdash, we should give from 13 and above. So that's the Machlokes Rishonim. The Mishnah Berurah says the minhag really is to be shokel this zeichah to the Machzor Shekel even for people below 13. Right? The minhag is that even a woman who's pregnant will give Machzor Shekel for the uber too. That's what they say. You know, because the purpose of the Machzor Shekel was really for a kapara. The real kapara was the karbanos sibur, but now we don't have the karbanos sibur, so the Machzor Shekel is a zeichah to the kapara. So it's a way that we get kapara. So who doesn't want kapara? So who doesn't want kapara? So we give for the ubrim, we give for the ketanim, we give for everyone. Women are shokel too, even though technically speaking, for the Machzor Shekel and the Beis HaMikdash, they're pturos. But women also give a Machzor Shekel. The husbands give a zeichah to the Machzor Shekel for the women too. I keep on saying zeicha because it's important to keep in mind it's just a zeicha. You shouldn't say when you give the money, you shouldn't say this is machtis hashekel. Well, that's a problem because that might be like you're being machtish the money, and then they can't use the money. So it's only a zeicha. It's a zeicha. That's why it says on the tzepel, right? It says on the piece of paper where you're putting it down, zeicha, zeicha machtis hashekel. So what do? We give three times half of the currency in the area that you're in. Right, so for us, that's $3.50. Why do we give three chatzoi matbeya losa mokom? That's because it says truma three times in Parshas Kisisa. It talks about the machzis hashekel. It says truma three times, so we give three machzis hashekels. They didn't give three machzis hashekels in the Beis HaMikdash. They gave one machzis, but we're giving a zeicha to the machzis hashekel, so we give three keneged the three times that it says truma. So the minhag is that they put the $3.50 there. They tie them up with tape. And the person can put in his money, and then you pick up the three half matbeya, so that you're giving the three. It's a zeicha. You're giving the three half coins. So that's what people do. That's what people do. They pick up the three half coins, and then they put them there. Okay. We know that aside from matzah shekel, we also give matanos levyonim on Purim. That's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch and Tafrish Tzadi Dalet Zivale. It was b'chuyif to give the two evyonim. Matana achas, one to each evyon. What's the shim matanos levyonim? How much do you have to give? So the Mishnah Berurah, there in Siman Tovrish Sayidah, I quote from the Ritva, that the shir is a shava pruta. Shava pruta? I'm not sure what a shava pruta is, but not more than a nickel or a dime. That's what the Ritva says. Of course, that's only the minimum. But some poskim say even for the minimum, that might not be enough, bizman hazeh. The Ritva said that in times past when a Shava Pruta was a Davar Choshev, but now a Shava Pruta is not a Matana Chashuva at all. So many poskim say you can't even be yotzei the minimum shear with a Shava Pruta. You have to give some kind of Matana Chashuva. What is that? It's not so clear. Not so clear exactly what it is. I've heard someone suggest, I never really found this in the Sfar, but someone suggests Matanos Levyonim, the purpose of the mitzvah is to give Evyonim money that they can buy a Sudas Purim. But that's the purpose of the mitzvah. So if that's the purpose of the mitzvah, then the chor, you should give the avyonim a sum that's ro'oi for Sudas Purim. Meaning a sum that's ro'oi that he'll be able to buy, a chali roll and some kolkas or something. He'll be able to have meat and bread and a little wine. So how much is that? So some suggest around $5 or so. That's what people say. Maybe it's a little bit less. It's hard to know exactly. You know, it depends if you get it on sale or you don't get it on sale. Look, there's no question that if you give $10, you'll be yotzei kedasu kedin. You're giving to two evyonim, to each one, you're giving $5. Right? Even if you give to a group that's gonna give to many poor people, so clearly you can be yotzei, because it's, even though they're giving to a lot of poor people, you're giving bekavona that five of your dollars should be given to one person. Right? So when they give to one person, then to this person they're giving from Reuven, to the second person they're giving from Shimon. So you're actually giving a matana chashuva to two evyonim. Many people ask if they can use maaser ksofin to be yotzei matanos levyonim. So the answer is, for the basic mitzvah, you can't. Right? For the basic $10, you can't. But if you want to give more, so that you can count from your maaser ksofin. If you have any income and you want to count that from maaser ksofin, you can give matanos levyonim. You're supposed to be marbe. Right, so you can be marbe matanos levyonim from the ma'aser ksofim, but the basic mitzvah, obviously, you can't give from the ma'aser ksofim because you can't be yotzei a mitzvah with a mitzvah that you're chayav for with ma'aser ksofim that you're also chayav for. That's, you know, you can't double dip. We know there's a mitzvah to give mishloach monos as well. Right? Here you don't have to give to two friends, but rather you have to give two monos to one friend. That's the mitzvah. Monos is two monos, but you only give to one friend. Mishloach monos ish l'reyeim. Ish to one reya, each man to his friend. There's no need to give to two friends. Of course you can be marbe, but the ikar halacha is that man to a friend, giving two monos to one friend. There's a shmua that some people have that the mishloach monos have to be two different brachas. The two different things that you're giving have to be two different brachas. It's a misnomer, because the Shulchan Aruch writes Beferish and Siman Tov Resh Tzadi Hei Siv Dalid that you have to give chayiv l'shloach l'chaver obeiz monos basar o shel minei ochlin. Either two types of meat or two other foods. So it's clear that the Shulchan Aruch holds you can be yotze with two types of meat. Two types of meat are the same bracha. They're both shahakal. So clearly the Shulchan Aruch is assuming that even if they're not two brachas, as long as they're two monos chashuvos, that's enough for mishloach monos. So I'm not sure where that came from, that you have to give two different brachas. I don't think it's correct. So even if you give two things that are the same bracha, you give two fancy cakes. The yotze mishloach monos, kedasu kedin. They're both mizonos, but it's definitely gonna be a matana chashuv. Right? Why do we give mishloach manos? That's the famous machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim say it's to provide for the sudas purim, and the others say that no, it's to be marbe reyes, that people should be friendly with each other. But either way, if you give two choshevik cakes, right, two very beautiful cakes, that's going to be marbe reyes, and it's not going to help you for the whole suda. I hope you're not going to make a suda out of the two cakes, but dessert certainly is going to be a big part of that suda. Right, so it'll definitely help you be yotze the sudas purim. The Mishnah Berurah writes that you don't have to give only ochlin, but mashke also counts, and shesi is bechalal achila, that's also good enough, that can count for mishloach manos as well. There's a major discussion that the poskim have: do you have to fulfill mishloach manos through a shliach? Do you have to give it to someone? Can you give directly to your friend, or do you have to give it to your friend to give to the friend? Reuven wants to give mishloach manos to Shimon, so does he have to give to Levi to give to Shimon, or can he give it directly to Shimon? What's the shaila? Well, because the lashon of the pasuk is mishloach manos, sending, not nesinas manos, mishloach manos. It sounds like you have to send it through a shliach. So here too, right? It's a little bit questionable. The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Resh Tzadi Hei Siv Dalet is chayav lishloach lechaver shtei monos basar o shel minei ochlin. Shulchan Aruch says chayav lishloach lechaver, lishloach to send. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Binyan Siyan, Rav Yaakov Etlinger, who had a suffix, you have to send dafka yedei shliach because of the lashon of the pasuk. So this is a big discussion of poskim. You can give a whole shiur about it, but the simple answer is that the poskim point out that the lashon mishloach monos is probably lav dafka. It doesn't have to be just sending it to a shliach. You can give it directly to, and the raya they give is the Gemara Megillah tells a story that the two of the Amoraim used to be machlev sudasayim. They used to exchange their sudas each year. One year one gave to the other, and the next year the other one gave to the other one, meaning they would invite each other for the Suda. And they were yotze, mishloach monos that way. It doesn't sound like that the Amora gave to his friend to give to the other Amora. It sounds like they would invite each other to eat at the Suda, so even without shlichus, they can be yotze, mishloach monos. That's what the Chazon Ish said. The Chazon Ish says, in Dover Poshet, you don't need shlichus. He would give mishloach monos himself. He would give it directly to the other individual, and he said, you can be yotze, kedasu kedin that way as well. You want to give it through a shliach to be machmer for the vinyan siyan? Matov, why not? You can do that. You know, sometimes you'll have people coming to the door and saying, it's not for me, it's from Yosef. You know, it's from my friend. It's from your friend, actually. Right? It's not for me, it's from the other friend. Okay, you want to be machmer to do that? Hey, it's fine. So it's a good conversation piece at the Purim Suda, if you have the mind to concentrate. But it's not absolutely necessary. There are many poskim who say that you don't have to do it either shliach. Sudas Purim. The Rama Paskins at the beginning of Siman Tov Resh Tzadi Hei, there's the mitzvah to be married of the Sudas Purim. Purim is a Yom Mishta V'Simcha. The Megillah says a Yom Mishta V'Simcha. We know that Simchas Yom Tov means that you need a Suda on Yom Tov. So it's the same for Purim. If it's a day of Simcha, then you have to have a Suda on Purim. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Halacha in Siman Tov Resh Tzadi Hei Sifal of the Chaya Vinish L'Vesumi B'Paraya Ad Lo Yada Ben Aruch Haman L'Baruch Mordechai. This is a big discussion, exactly what it means, what's the difference, what am I trying not to know. Suffice it to say, the Ramah says that you can kind this mitzvah by drinking a little bit more than you normally drink, and going to sleep. When you go to sleep, you don't know anything. So you can be able to say this is halacha kedasu kedin. This is one of these Ramahs that just did not make it big in the yeshivas. But it is what the Ramah says. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Achronim and says it's right to be Makai of the Mitzvah that way. You know, that's what the Ramah says. So other people are Machmet and Makai of the Mitzvah kipshuto. Right? They get drunk. There is a mitzvah to get drunk on Purim. But even if one is going to get drunk on Purim, we should note that from the Lashon of Rashi and the Rambam, it sounds like the Chayav Inish Levesume Bipuraya is Dafka the Yai. It's only through wine, not through hard liquor and other types of schnapps. Why? What's the idea that it's only through wine? The answer is this whole halacha. Mishnah Berurah says the whole halacha is based on the fact that the Nes of Purim occurred through different mishtos of Yayin. So because it came from a mishta Yayin, so it's a zecha to the Nes, right? To be marben or simcha for the Nes, so we drink a lot of wine. Right? They were getting drunk in the mishtos, so we also get drunk. Getting drunk shows a sense of simcha. But because the Nes came through Yayin, so then it doesn't make sense to get drunk through any other medium besides Yayin, because if not, then what's the zecha to the Nes? What's more, there are some who claim that maybe this halacha only applies during the Suda. Because if the Nes occurred through Mishtos of Yayin, they got drunk at the Sudos of Yayin, so then also getting drunk at the Suda of Yayin is a Zeicha to the Nes. But it's time to get drunk outside of the Suda? Efshim Kenzogin, there is room to say that maybe there is no mitzvah to drink wine outside of the Suda. Maybe Dafka in the Suda. The Bi'ur Halacha quotes from the Me'iri, the famous statement that we're not mitzuva and simcha of hololos or simcha of shtus. We're not supposed to just be playing games. The purpose of the drinking, obviously, is to be on a higher level, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nisim, the flows that he gave us. Obviously, a person is not supposed to drink any more than he can, right? If he's going to be mezalzel in any mitzvah, can means that if he physically can't drink and still be able to concentrate, then he should not be drinking, he should not be getting drunk, he should not do this mitzvah. He's potter, onus, right? If he's going to be mezalzel in davening mincha, if he's going to be mezalzel in any other mitzvah, so then clearly he's not supposed to get drunk. First, the person is supposed to be observing all the other mitzvahs hayom, and if he can observe all the other mitzvahs hayom, not tov, so then if he can get drunk, and he's not going to be able, he'll be able to daven mincha, he'll be able to daven mariv. Sometimes people get drunk and they fall asleep. They wake up the next morning. They miss Maariv. If a person can daven mincha and daven Maariv, and he can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu appropriately, ma tov, so then he should be able to see this halacha too. But if not, the Mishnah Berurah says that it's probably better not to get drunk, so that a person can serve Hashem appropriately. Finally, there's an old minhag that the Ramah quotes that people get dressed up on Purim. This Ramah is a little bit later in Hilchos Purim. So in Tofresh Sarivav Sivches, at the very end, he quotes from the Mahari Mintz. There's an old minhag to get dressed up on Purim. What's this based on? Many different reasons are given. Some say since the Nes of Purim was a Nes Nistar, it was a hidden Yom Tov, so we get dressed up, so we sort of hide ourselves on Yom Tov. Some say that it's because Haman hid his hatred of Klal Yisrael. He didn't express it out loud. So we also hide, we're sort of mimicking him, we're sort of making fun of him, that even though he hid his hatred for us, we still beat him. Some say it's because Haman had to dress Mordechai, so we get dressed up. There are different reasons that are given for why we dress up on Purim. The Ramah adds that even though normally there's an Issa to cross-dress, there's an Issa for a man to dress in the clothing of a woman, it says, Lo silbash gever simlas isha, the Mahari Mintz says that the minhag is to be mekel on Purim. For Simchas Purim, we're mekel even to cross dress. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's not so clear. There are some poskim who disagree. The Mishnah Berurah there in Sukkot and Lamed, he quotes in the poskim who say it's kedai to be mevatel this minhag. So it's a very controversial issue. Some say that if a person is basically dressed as a man, he's wearing a sheitel, you know, just one thing, just to make him look a little bit like a woman, that might not be as much of a problem. But to get dressed up clear, completely, to look like a woman completely, according to these other poskim, that probably is better not to do. According to the Ramah, it's still mutter. Right? It's a big machlokas what one should do. It's probably better to try to avoid it, if one can. You know, if one wants to dress up like a woman for some reason, that's part of the costume. So he should still dress like a man, but he can add parts to the costume that are still woman-like. So, you know, people will get the point. You know, Purim is all about imagination. So, you know, as long as a person is wearing something that makes him look like a woman, so then I think they'll get the point. But to dress up completely like a woman, in light of the fact that many of the posts can hold it's probably better not to do that, then if at all possible, a person should perhaps hold himself back from doing that. Okay, a frailish important.